Not gonna lie, that song pumps me up, man.
Yeah, it gets it going.
So, hello everybody. Welcome to episode 54 of Fan Experience TV. It is a pleasure to have you joining us again. And for those of you who are just joining us, my name is Mike Kados. I'm going hat backwards today.
Yeah, he's
and I am your host, and alongside me is my co-host Rick Molina. How we doing, Rick?
Mike, doing well. You're rebelling tonight, man.
If I have it forward, it's just weird shadows. So yeah. that's really all it is, and I just don't. My hair is a mess.
No, but the night's good. Got a little. Got the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors going on over here. 76-74 at the half. Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, a lot to get to. We're going to preview our show on Sunday, and then we get to little Trevor Bauer. So why don't you kick it off letting our fans and our viewers know what's taking place on Super Bowl Sunday for the Fan Experience TV?
Yes, absolutely. So as we said, tonight is episode 54.
And
I think it's the universe telling us that they want episode 55 on Super Bowl 55 Sunday. Yeah. So we decided that we will have a special big game pregame show Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, between 3 and, you know, we're going to try and go until about 5, you know, and right before you guys all have to head out to your Super Bowl parties. Some of you will already be at your Super Bowl parties, and we want you to call in. Everybody here, you know, just shoot us an email. If you want to call in, you know, let us know, and we'll find a spot for you to come on. We will also be inviting all of our previous guests to come back and make a cameo appearance for those that are available. We will be covering, we will not be doing spreads tonight. We will not do a spread preview tonight. I mean, we'll give our guest an opportunity to talk about it if he wants to, but we will not have that special spread segment as we do normally on Thursday nights. And we're going to have predictions. We're going to have, you know, prop bets. We're going to have, you know, against the spread, you know, halftime props, coin toss props. You know, we're just going to have fun. And we want you to join us 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday for episode LV55, same as the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode. We want you guys calling in from your Super Bowl parties. Tell us what the menus are, how many beers you're drinking, who's there. And we also want you guys to be safe. Remember, we're still in a pandemic, a lot going on. Make sure you're wearing your masks, social distance. Obviously, listen, you're going to be at a Super Bowl party, but, you know, please be safe out there. But, yeah, tune in, you know, a couple hours before the game as you guys are eating your wings and your chips and your beers and your pizza. And, you know, tell us your prop bets and your predictions for the game and what you know, how you think the game is going to play out. So we're looking forward to that show. It's going to be a lot of fun Sunday at 3 p.m.
Absolutely. And our Instagram is at the bottom of the screen.
Yep.
Some of you are watching this on Twitter. And, you know, so you could just DM us there, DM us on Instagram. DM us on Facebook, you know, wherever you're watching it, you know, you could definitely private message us, or you can email us at fanexperience@playingthefield.io. And, if you want to come on, you know, we'll talk about it and we'll find you a spot on the show for Sunday. Yeah. So until then, we got a great show in store for you tonight.
Yep.
And we have, you know, my New York Mets looking like there is a distinct possibility that we will get Trevor Bauer in a New York Mets uniform.
Yeah.
You know, they offered him what was the deal, Rick?
Yeah, 3 years, close to $100 million.
All right, 3 years, close to $100 million, and you know, I mean, I would love to see him in Flushing.
Yeah.
And you'll. There is rumblings that a deal is done, and then there's also rumblings that a deal is not done going around on the social channels out there. But we will wait and see. But we should probably have some kind of news by later tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, this is the offseason that you wanted. I mean, you cannot script an offseason better than what the Mets have had. They get the owner they wanted in Steve Cohen. Guys on Twitter, engaging with the fans, then gets into a whole thing with Dave Portney, and he got off that. But he signed Lindor, signed Carlos Carrasco, and on the verge of bringing the prize that they wanted, Trevor Bauer, to the New York Mets, to add some swag to that locker room, add some leadership, and add to that line, that pitching rotation that is just looking unhittable. I mean, with DeGrom and Bauer and Thor and Stroman, who am I missing? I think I'm missing somebody else. And Carrasco. I mean, man. And
they got another guy. I can't remember his name.
But. Yeah, but man, the Mets are loading up right now. And you got to say, I mean, they're not the favorites to win the NL. But, you know, if you're the Dodgers, if you're one of those top teams in the National League, I mean, playing the Mets in a five-game or seven-game series with that pitching, boy, that's going to be tough, man. And that lineup, mm-hmm. I mean, it's looking good. This, you couldn't have asked for a more perfect offseason than what you've gotten so far.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the last 20 years of moves all happening at once. I mean, Right. Obviously, there's still that dark cloud over the Mets because you got all this stuff with Porter, and then you got the Mickey Callaway news earlier this week. Yeah. You know, so they can't get out of their own shadow with when it comes to, and the GameStop stuff, obviously.
Right, obviously, yeah.
And then SNY took a... said a couple of words against Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
And would the Wilpons still own SNY?
Yep.
So, and then they ended up, you know, retracting and apologizing. But it's just like, come on. Like, do we need the soap opera too? Like, yeah.
But from a baseball perspective, you have done phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah. From a baseball, you've done phenomenal, man. I mean, it's great. It's going to be fun, man. I'm telling you, once they get people in there, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I actually just got an email today about the season tickets. So it's looking like they're planning. They're planning on having a season, and they're planning on having fans in the stands. Obviously, there's a lot of disclaimers when it comes to the season tickets to save their own hides there. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, as of right now, it's looking promising. But, you know, obviously time will only tell. And, you know, how we get through the remainder of a couple more months. But we have the Super Bowl on Sunday, and then it's pitchers and catchers in a couple of weeks. So things are going to start rolling and rolling fast, and I'm actually looking forward to a baseball season. I always look forward to it, but I usually like April 15th, April 20th or so. I'm like, this is over.
No, but you're right. It is good that, you know, you're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, right? Citi Field is going to become a mass vaccination center, so people are going to be able to get vaccinated there. All the drugstores are going to be getting the vaccines pretty soon. I mean, it's starting to roll out, I think, and it's starting to happen, I think. I think you can just, like I said, see the light at the end of the tunnel. Fans are going to be in the stands. I think by the end of the summer, going into the fall, going to the playoffs, we're going to have more people in the stands. And I think it's going to be great. But you're right. You know, it's something about pitchers and catchers. The weather's going to get warmer. It's going to get nicer out. You know, baseball. It's I can't wait, man. I'm over this snow. I'm done. It's over. At least for me. I'm over it.
We're supposed to be getting another.
Yeah.
Another batch
Super Bowl Sunday
on Super Bowl Sunday, and I pray that it's not bad because I do not want to be spending Super Bowl Sunday going outside and cleaning up and shoveling. So, but I took off Monday, so
same here.
At least there's that.
Same here. I took Monday off. We recommend you take Monday off, people. I mean, it should be a national holiday. We got to talk about that one day.
It really should be.
Yeah. The day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday.
We could talk about it with our guest, and we could, or we could talk about it after the.
Yeah, we'd talk about it with him too.
All right. But now we will be bringing on our next guest. Joining us, recent Ohio State alum and also the host of the Bird's Eye View podcast. Joining us now is Jason Goldstein.
Hey, how you guys Jason, doing?
How we doing?
Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Ohio State just beat Iowa in basketball. We're about to be top five after this week. So, you know, I was obviously a couple weeks ago really disappointed when we lost the national championship. That was miserable for me, but I'm glad now that our basketball team's playing amazing. And in my opinion, right now, We're the third best team behind Baylor and Gonzaga.
All right. Awesome. So I mean, we usually start the show a little different, you know, the conversation a little differently, but you mentioned the national championship game. So, you know, let's get down to the nitty gritty with that. We're Jets fans. We got the number two pick. You've watched Justin Fields. So what is your take on, you know, how he is as a quarterback? Do you think the Jets should take him if he, well, he's going to fall to number two. I mean, or should they go with Devonta Smith? That's who we, you know, we're thinking that they should go with.
Well, my personal opinion with the Jets are they should take Penei Sewell, because I think it'd be great if you surround Sam Darnold with two tackles that are amazing. And I feel like they're not going to take a quarterback if they hired a defensive minded coach. And also, I'm a Giants fan, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks die for the Jets. And Justin Fields is he's one of my favorite college players of all time. So I do not want to see him in a Jets uniform. I want him to go and be set up to fail. Because here's my thing: Trevor Lawrence, wherever he goes, he's going to be amazing. Justin Fields' his issue is he holds on to the ball too long at times. Sometimes he sticks with his first read. He got better at reading defenses as the season went along. And so I feel like he needs to go with a good coach. And Saleh's going to be a great coach for you guys, as will, I think, LaFleur's an OC. But I feel like he needs to get someone with the weapons. And I'd love to see him on the Panthers personally. But, yeah, like Fields, he'd be a good pick for you. He'd be a great pick for you guys. I obviously kid when I say Jets kill all careers. But as a Giants fan, I don't want to see him doing well for the crosstown rival. But Fields would be a great pick. But personally, I think the Jets should go with Sewell, because offensive line is the second most important position in football.
Okay. All right. So where did this did you always love Ohio State growing up, and that's why you picked to go to school there, or did you gain, you know, more of a love for them because you went to school there?
When I was younger, I wanted to be an actor. And one of my friends was an Ohio State fan, said Ohio State's a good acting school. So I'm like, that's where I want to go, blah, blah, blah. You know, that acting career kind of dies a couple years later. I'm not really in the sports when I first said that. And then one day I start getting the sports and I throw on a college football game. It's Ohio State, Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I'm like, hey, I remember saying I want to go to Ohio State. I watched that game and then I just fell in love with them the next season when they had Terrell Pryor. They were number one. Then they got upset by Wisconsin and the basketball team of Jaren Solinger, Aaron Kraft, and were the number one overall seed until Kentucky upset us. So that's when I really got into Ohio State basketball. I guess them being at near the top in football and basketball where I first started getting into the sports helped me. And so I've always rooted for the Buckeyes year in and year out. And when I was looking at schools, I got into the business school at Ohio State. I visited the school and I'm like, this is where I belong. And it's the best decision I ever made was going to Ohio State University.
Jay, love the energy over there. So what's it like down there on campus, you know, as a student at Ohio State, the sports wise? Tell us about the sports culture. Tell us what our viewers is like. Because Ohio, you know, you talk about Ohio State, the Buckeyes, Urban Meyer, Eddie George, all that history. What's it like over there on campus?
It's just insane. The allure of seeing a player on campus is just like, wow, holy shit. You see somebody wearing –
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Let it rip. Fuck it.
All right, just making sure. Yeah, so you see someone wearing a backpack, you're like, holy shit. And then especially, like, you know, it's Jordan Fuller. You know, even though he wasn't playing freshman year, I'm at a bar and I meet Cardale Jones, so I buy him a drink. I meet J.K. Dobbins a couple years ago. He's personally my favorite Buckeye of all time. He was a really cool guy, and it's just so awesome. And, like, everyone loves the football team no matter where you go, whatever class you're in, the gym, the library. There's always at least 15 people wearing Ohio State gear, and Saturdays are just amazing. I mean, for some – because, you know, Big Ten, they love their noon kickoff, and they always want Ohio State in the noon game. They don't realize what that does to the student – our student body. I mean – it's forcing us to get up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to start drinking and just partying. especially the Michigan game. Michigan, my freshman year, well, I can't say I'll never forget, because I'll remember how we woke up at like 3:30 to start pre-gaming. Our bars open up at 5 a.m. for $1 Wells, $1 beers, and it was the craziest day of my life. And plus that Ohio State, the team up north game that went the double OT when JT rightfully got the first down,
Yeah.
The best sporting event I've ever been to. Just the atmosphere, the crowd, the game itself. And I've been to the Super Bowl.
Wow, that is incredible, man. That's incredible. So you talk about how old were you when you first, you know, Cardale Jones or whatever. I mean, you picked, it seems like you picked up sports pretty late. How old were you when you first started, sort of this caught your eye to you know, this passion for Ohio State?
So it started seventh. I won't say the age. I remember I was in sixth grade when the Rose Bowl happened. So I started watching regular season Ohio State football during seventh grade in both basketball and football.
Okay.
So then, but I think other sports I got into before baseball, I got into during the 09 season. So I played it at sleepaway camp, started watching when I got back. Yankees won the World Series that year. Obviously, haven't been back since. But, you know, I was thinking earlier today, if that Bauer signing does happen, we could have another Subway Series.
Wow. We'll get into that in a little bit. I like your attitude. I like the attitude, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Mike feels about that, but I'm personally okay with it.
Yeah. I'm good with a Subway Series, just a different outcome. That's that's it. I mean, that's so let's touch on the fact that, you know, obviously you're a late bloomer as far as like sports goes. So you wanted to be an actor. Like, you know, what drove you down that path? Like, who were some of your like role models growing up when you were looking down that path?
It was really Adam Sandler, but once I realized that the path to being an actor was theater and plays and then never getting and then always being picked for a background role after like sixth grade, I realized, all right, yeah, this isn't for me. Then that's when I really started getting passionate in the sports. You know, the person who really got me into sports, my childhood idol, the late Kobe Bryant. So when he died, that like I was at the library and just like was shocked, had to leave. But because that was really the first sport I got into was basketball, which segued me into all these other sports, football, baseball, college athletics. So, yeah, that was – yeah, so – and then after that, I wanted to do journalism for a while. Then it seemed like – I think I talked to you a bit about this, Michael, when we first talked, that then as I was approaching later in high school, it seemed like all the journalists were former players, everybody on ESPN. Oh, he just retired, gets a job. So I kind of started to think, all right, let me go more towards business. As you know, business is, you know, more realistic for me. And then the podcasting game has really grown the last 4 years. And that's when I got into creating a podcast. And also I'm trying to get into the business of sports.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the journalists of tomorrow are going to be podcasts at some point today because, you know, you have to, it's all about personal brand at this point, you know, and, you know, that's part of the reason we want, you know, to bring you guys on. It's because we want, you know, we want you guys to gain exposure, you know, especially with you wanting to get into that side of the business. You know, it's definitely fruitful to keep putting yourself out there any which way you can. I watched some of your clips on Instagram. You know, you're very passionate. You're very animated on the Bird's Eye View podcast. And have you had any guests or do you want to have any guests on your podcast?
Yeah, I've had some guests. So sometimes it's just been my friends, whether it's just shooting the shit or, you know, a friend giving more of analysis and talking about a team. I had one of my friends who was a walk-on at Ohio State, but, you know, he came on. So we talked about Ohio State football, got sort of the inner workings from him. I don't know if you guys, how much you guys follow Barstool Sports. You probably don't follow him, but Eric Hubbs, he's like the leader of Barstool Yankees. And he was actually on my podcast just last week, and me and him talked a lot of Yankees and he talked and some Knicks and his Packers. And also I was friended Dominic Hickson, former Giant, when I was
I know Dominic, yeah, of course.
Facebook like seventh grade, I guess. And I messaged him in seventh grade saying, hi, I'm a huge Giants fan. And then 10 years and 2 days to the day I messaged him that, I decided to message him about the podcast and he came on to preview the Giants season. So I've had some like pretty exciting guests on.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. And you went to Super Bowl 42 and you saw the catch. Tell us what that's like.
Oh, it was Super Bowl 46. But
46, I'm sorry, yeah.
But
I'm
still saw the Manningham catch.
You saw, yeah, but tell us about that. They're playing the Patriots. It's against Brady. Eli's driving them. I mean, what was the stadium like when Manningham makes that catch on the sideline right there?
Just everyone watched, staring up at that replay board, like hearts panicking. Like, everyone just, like, you could hear a pin drop because everyone's waiting. And then once you start seeing the replay, the Giants fans start clapping. I was in a relatively Giants congregated area. with, you know, some family friends. So we were all getting really amped up and excited about the game. I remember, you know, there was the safety and then the touchdown to make it 9-0 early on. So we're getting excited. Then as Brady does, he chips into the lead. And me and my friend at the same time turn to each other and just happen to say, my stomach hurts, because anytime my team's in a big game, my stomach always gets in knots.
That's incredible. And, no, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So it was just like an amazing game. And then obviously, even the last play of the game, it looked like it almost would have got a tip in the Gronk's hand. It felt like that ball was in the air for like 30, 40, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And then obviously you go back a little bit, the Bradshaw touchdown. I kind of remember like even saying, like, should he kind of just like knee the ball? Should he knee it? And then he sees him lean. And then my friend's dad, who took us, doesn't really know anything about football, goes, oh, what an asshole move trying to show off. I'm like, no, he was trying to knee the ball.
I remember watching that game going, my God, man, I can't believe they're going to pull it off again. Now, I've never been to a Super Bowl. What's the atmosphere like at the Super Bowl? Is it just like nervous tension the whole game? Is it like, you know, or is it, you know, I mean, are you like standing the whole game? Like, what's it like as a fan to watch the game live? What is it like?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're standing the whole game. There's no sitting except for maybe commercials or whatever.
Okay.
But even so, it's like you're standing the entire game. And it's like I was in eighth grade, so I'm so young and everything's so exciting to me. And you meet all these famous people. Travie McCoy I met. I really don't remember all the famous people I met. It was
that the guy that sings Billionaire?
I want to be – is it? I honestly –
No, is that him? No.
No, it's not him. That. No, no.
No.
Because I literally remember it's he's part of a band. I used to listen to him back in whatever that when I was in eighth grade, but now I really don't listen to him anymore. But I remember like thinking that was really cool. I met Jason Kidd at the Giants at the season opener that year. Okay. But
yeah.
It was really cool meeting a bunch of celebrities and how lax it was. But the coolest part was after the game. You know, I'm little. I'm in eighth grade. I can sneak my way down to front row, like in front of the field. I take my shirt off because, like, I always when I was younger, I'd take my shirt off, paint my stomach blue, or not paint, draw on marker. Some random person puts his arm around me, and you know, some random guy puts his arm around a shirtless kid. I don't care. We just won the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, someone walks up and goes, "Spike, you want to come on the field?" He takes his arm around me, off around me, goes on the field, and I was like, "Holy shit, that was Spike Lee!"
Wow!
I didn't even realize that. I was just like, "Oh my! Like, wait, Spike!"
That's an awesome story, man.
Wow! Yeah, no, that's wow. That's crazy. And that was the Super Bowl. Is that what game was that?
That was the Super Bowl. Yeah,
Super Bowl 46. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Where was that one anyway?
Indianapolis. Nice stadium.
So how did how did you guys get around to getting tickets?
Well, my family friends, they went every year from that Packers-Steelers Super Bowl all the way through to Super Bowl 49, I believe.
Okay.
The one in MetLife. The one that the Patriots beat Seattle in. And because obviously, you know, they know how passionate I am about the Giants, and they're Giants fans too. They took me to that one. So that was just amazing. Yeah, that was
that in Arizona? Was that in Arizona? Maybe? No?
No, what was that one?
46. No, the one with the Patriots and the Seahawks. What was that one at?
I think that was Arizona.
Arizona. Okay, yeah.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that was Arizona. Yeah.
You got a fan in the crowd there.
Oh, that was one of my roommates.
Alex, thanks for joining us.
Alex, much thanks love, for tuning in, man.
Much love from the zoo. What's the zoo?
Well, my nickname at school is Bird, hence Bird's Eye View. I really don't know where it came from. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
His nickname was one of our other friends made the nickname up Rhino, and our other roommate was Cam. So we just said Chameleon, and we called our apartment the Zoo.
Nice, very nice. So talk to us a little bit about you know, you just graduated from Ohio State, so. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? You know, I know you're doing the podcast, but like, where are you going as far as trying to find work and what path are you looking to go down?
So currently I'm working just a temp job, And, you know, I have it for about 6 months. It's more in an accounting role. And, it's, you know, I'm learning more good business skills. And it's something for now where I can learn and grow and, you know, get paid temporarily. And then obviously there's an option to bring me on after the temp job ends. But, yeah, I've enjoyed it. But I also want to at some point get into the business of sports field, whether that be getting into journalism. Somehow my podcast gets picked up by Barstool Sports, working in sports management, doing PR and sports marketing. I know I've looked at some sports marketing firms in the past. So I definitely at some point want to get into the sports industry, possibly go back to get my master's in sports management, because that's definitely one thing I wish I did at school was major in that industry. I just felt like business was the way to go for me. But obviously now I really love sports, and I actually, I don't know if you guys follow soccer?
Yeah, somewhat.
A little bit.
So I was lucky to have an internship. My mom was sorority sisters with one of the owners of Manchester United.
Wow.
So I had an internship for them in London, and that was the experience of a lifetime.
I think we talked about that when we spoke a few months ago. Yeah. But, tell our viewers a little bit about, working out there. How long were you there? And, like, just the atmosphere, because obviously they take that stuff seriously. I mean, obviously you talk about Ohio State and the passion amongst the students and the student body there, but you have a whole entire city just like crazy over that team. So to talk to us a little bit about that.
So at least where I worked, my office was in London, and it was a lot more focused on the business side of things. Obviously people were fans of the teams, although you had a couple Chelsea fans, Liverpool fans, fans of other clubs that work there. Mm-hmm. But overall, so I was in the corporate development team. And one thing that was cool, I was there during the heat of the transfer market. So every week I was reporting players that were bought and sold for over 10 million, players that were bought and sold by Manchester United to Barcelona, Bayern Munich, all the big club, all the Premier League clubs, and then the big Spain, German, French, Portuguese clubs. And just basically, looking at, overall net spending, overall gross spending, doing an analysis. And then also just looking at projects, seeing about if Manchester United could get into the U.S. gambling market, potentially essentially getting into certain different business ventures. I don't know how much I can talk about.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And try to just get into different business ventures to further increase their brand, and just doing a whole lot of study of analysis of markets they're trying to get into, and seeing how other clubs or other leagues that have entered in these markets, how it's been working for them. It was just really cool working in another country. I loved going to work every day. I loved the work I was doing. It was never like dreading it, walking with a smile. And plus being able to live in London was just really cool. I said I wanted to go abroad, but abroad was not really a big thing at Ohio State. Most people traveled abroad in the summer. So yeah, it was nice to be able to do that. I got to go to Prague, Amsterdam, Barcelona, and Paris.
Wow. Now, did you catch any soccer games while you were out there? I mean, was the league going on?
So my last weekend there actually was the opening weekend of the Premier League. So I got to go to the season opener, Man United versus Chelsea, and they really liked me. So they take interns to games, but I was the first intern to go in Suite 7, which is their top premier, which is their top luxury suite, Suite 7, because all their best players were number 7. And in the suite was Josh Hart and Jimmy Butler. So I met both of them, and I was just like,
wow, that's incredible.
I was like in heaven, like seeing Jimmy Butler, Josh Hart eating great food, being able to go to a soccer game back when, I miss crowds now, just being in a game like that, being at Ohio State games. But the last sporting event I went to was actually a Knicks-Cavs game in Cleveland.
That's it, man. I'm dying to go. As you can tell, I got my Knicks little sweater right here.
I did not know that because the mic was blocking it.
Yeah, no. It's for all my viewers. Yeah. Our viewers know I'm a rabid Knicks fan. Like, I watch every game, and then I watch this show on YouTube. It's called Knicks Fans TV. I watch that like incessantly after the game, just kind of get like a breakdown. I mean, I'm a rabid Knicks fan, but that's just, one day I hope to be able to go to a Knicks game soon.
This is definitely the most invested I've been in the team in a while, just because, with the Giants, football's on every Sunday, I'd go out of my way to stream them.
Yeah.
The Yankees were always a contender, so I'd go out of my way to stream them. But also the big thing was I couldn't get MSG Go on like a TV, on like a Roku TV or the Xbox.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot harder to stream them in. But it's been a fun team to watch this year. I love EQ. He needs to be starting.
Yes, 100%. So tell us about what do you think of the team? They're 10-13. You know, Tibbs has got them playing well. What do you think so far?
I've honestly been fine with this. Like I said, we're not a contender, and I still don't think we're going to be a top 10 team in the East this year. But honestly, it's direction. Sorry, I want to
– Careful. No, that's all right.
I don't know.
For the first time in since I was in high school, whatever, that 2012 year, we have a direction instead of any lack of direction. And it's crazy, too, because our first-round pick hasn't really played well. And, I'm not ready to quit on Obi, but I was big in the Halliburton camp. I was a really big Halliburton fan. So that morning I spent all that entire day just watching Halliburton, Denny Avija, Obi Top, and all these highlights. And I came to the conclusion I want Halliburton because even though Quigley's great, he's more of a scoring guard. We need more of a facilitating guard because Julius Randle's been good, but when he's our facilitator, he tends to try to do too much at times.
And he does those ridiculous spin moves and the ball goes everywhere.
Yep.
Listen, I'm a big Obi guy. Like, I want to see Obi play more. I think he just hasn't found the rhythm. He's not playing.
Yeah.
But I like – personally, I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, I saw him when they played us, and he's been really well. But I like IQ. Something about his attitude I really, really enjoy watching. RJ's just dominating people, like playing that bully ball. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to work on his three-point shot because he's still an inconsistent shooter. But – you know, with the young guys coming up and they got a couple of more picks, man, I see the Knicks in a couple of years really being contending, man. I really, really do.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even – at this point, we don't even need to – like, people – one of my friends is saying, oh, you guys think you're going to get Giannis? Well, guess what?
I don't want Giannis.
I'm like, no Knicks fan at this point. After the KD Kyrie thing, I don't hear any Knicks fan talking about us signing a big free agent anytime soon. At this point, we just want to get good because one of my friends is a Nets fan and just – he hates the Knicks because one Knicks fan that we know is very like optimistic, and he's like, yeah, Knicks fans are the worst. I'm like, we're literally just suffer. I'm like, how are we? I'm like, you know, Yankees. I admit we're a toxic fan base. We're a toxic fan base, but the Knicks are a suffering fan base. How are we a toxic fan base?
You just want to try to boost your own spirits when there's nothing really there to boost them with, but it can never be mistaken as cockiness.
No,
I mean, let's just call a spade here. Have you run into Spike Lee at any Knicks games and relived? Have you talked to him?
No, last Knicks game at MSG I went to was pre Porzingis, so it's.
Wow, oh, that's a couple years ago.
Yeah. Because the thing is, the Knicks were so bad, I just didn't feel like spending the $60, $70, $80 for average seats to see my team get their ass kicked. To me, MSG wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. So it was nice when me and my roommate, it was on MLK Day last year, where we was like, you know what, let's go to see Knicks Cavs in Cleveland. Tickets are, I think, $8.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was nice.
What we need to do, Mike. Like, we need to go like on the road and see one Nick like to like the 76ers or something like that.
It was because one of my friends from high school who also goes to Ohio State, we've been saying that for 4 years, and every day would fall on a Wednesday afternoon, a Thursday afternoon, like a Sunday night on a game day, and it was like, all right, like what or something. So it worked out when it was MLK Day. We drove back Sunday night to my roommates, and then just went to the game Monday, drove back after. It's funny, we went to the casino at 3 p.m. on a Monday. That was an experience.
Casinos are good. They're
fun. What's your game of choice?
I like roulette. I like to play. I like the risk. It's like, it's kind of like I describe watching roulette because you never know where the ball's going to drop as the free throws when you're betting on basketball spread. The free throw game, betting a basketball spread, is the most exhilarating, especially college basketball is my favorite sport to bet on.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just it's probably my second favorite sport. But I do want to get into some betting talk because I did hear you guys talking about the NFL.
Oh, here we go. Mike, go ahead. Set it off. Go ahead, Mike.
So funny, I bet 65 to win 372 preseason on the Chiefs. I'm a man who – you know, I like taking risks, but I also want to hedge. So
okay.
I put 25 on the Bucks. I'll net $2 if they win. But I still net 327 if the Chiefs win. So okay. Obviously rooting for the Chiefs. And I broke it down. I was recording earlier today for the podcast that it's a tough game to pick because how do you bet against Tom Brady, who's the GOAT? But how do you bet against Mahomes after like what you see from him? Yeah. And obviously the Bucs defense, it's streaking. They're not going to give up 500 yards to Tyreek Hill again like they did last time.
Yeah.
Obviously no Eric Fisher, no Mitchell Schwartz, but I just don't see how you can stop Pat Mahomes in this Chiefs offense. They're just too damn good. I like the Bucs to cover +3. I love the over in this game.
Yeah.
What is it?
So I love the over. I'm not touching spread or over itself. I'm more like taking props. So I wrote down some props. I think I did this the last 2 years. Bet on a successful two-point conversion at +200. I just like that because teams go for it more and more now for two.
It's not bad. I can see that. Definitely.
Okay, yeah.
I did this actually back in March. I was on my phone, you know, nothing to bet on. I just needed the, I needed to go on my betting app just to act like I was betting. And I saw NFL Super Bowl props. I'm like, what? So I bet tails back in March. So tails, tails, hoping for that. And then the other Gatorade color. I'm taking orange is the favorite. You never take the favorite because what's the point of, like, in my opinion, getting -105 for Gatorade color is not good value. I took yellow at +400. I heard you guys mention halftime props. I didn't like the halftime props, so I didn't take them.
All right.
National anthem. I looked it up. I don't have one on my book yet, but it's over one. I have 159. I'm going over. I feel people.
Who's singing the national anthem? Do you know?
It's Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan. So I feel two people would take longer. Eric Church, I mean, I like country. You know, he hangs on his verses.
Yeah.
And it's just been like a really shitty year for America. So you know, I feel like there's going to be that American unity really honing in on it.
Yeah.
It's solid theory. I like it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And I might take more anytime touchdown scores, but one thing I loved was getting Le'Veon Bell anytime touchdown at +325. I just thought that was incredible value for a player like Le'Veon Bell, who I know you guys might think differently of him, but still a solid player.
If he gets in the goal line, if their goal line, they might go Bell and just slam it in there. I mean, that's, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, they did that last year. I mean, Damian Williams got 3 touchdowns last year.
Exactly.
In the Super Bowl. So, and, you know, obviously it's going to be between Bell, Darrell Williams, and Edwards-Helaire. So, yeah, they do have like a 3-headed monster, but I don't know how healthy Helaire is because he's been banged up for a couple of weeks. But Bell, you know, in a big game like that, I'm sure they're gonna ride on him a little bit in crunch time. So, you know, something along those lines. But how about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell being in a Super Bowl after the Steelers said, sayonara, we don't need you. We can win without you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that turn out?
Yep. And that, I mean, it turned out with getting embarrassed at home by the Browns when three receivers who just like to make TikToks all day.
Yeah, man. Well, that, you know what? They're young. They're immature. They got to grow up a little bit over there. And Ben is a drama queen over there. I mean, it's just, you know. So we'll see how Tomlin handles that next year. But, you know, they should have won that game. I mean, it's just, you know.
I was happy for my friends who are Browns fans. I was really happy for them.
Yeah. Well, they were. Dude, we had somebody from the Browns on early in our podcast. I think when they were like going like, oh, they started what, 0-1?
It was right before the season started.
Right before the season.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like
night?
A week. It was the week prior.
I think it was opening night, actually. Yeah. But it wasn't. The Browns weren't playing that night.
Yeah, but you know they got blown out by the Ravens, and you're thinking, man, another rough year, and you know they get to the playoffs. So, but we'll see. It depends. I don't know how far Baker Mayfield could take that team. I just don't know if he's the quarterback who's going to take them, you know, past the divisional win or something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you guys as Jets fans, are you guys getting Watson?
I was just gonna ask you, you know, what did you think about the Watson? It's looking like Denver. There's a lot of rumblings about him wanting to go to Denver and that being a possibility. Well, here we go. We got some prop bets coming in here.
All right, Tom Brady, let's see.
Over 0.5 rushing yards, plus 130. Also, go Dogs. All right. So what is, you know, first let's go to that. Like, what kind of is the atmosphere in Ohio State? Is it more Browns or is it more Bengals?
Oh, it's more Browns for sure. Definitely more Browns. Pretty much all my friends are Browns fans. I have a couple friends who are Bengals fans, but no, it is definitely Brown country. There's a couple like bars there will do deal for Browns games. I've never heard of the bars doing really anything for Bengals games out there. So it's definitely a lot more Browns.
About, you know, probably like a decade ago now, but I was heavy into the, you know, trying to get into law enforcement kick. And then there was a law enforcement test out in Columbus. So, you know, I took a road trip. I went out there and then it was like a Saturday. And I'm like, all right, let's just go to a local bar and just, you know, grab a beer or whatnot. And the whole Ohio State game is on. It's unbelievable how packed out it was. Everyone, like you said, everyone is just rocking that gear. I mean, it was kind of I think it was like about 3 miles from the campus, you know, and they were away that day, but it was insane. Like, I've never seen that for an NFL game, you know.
The bars on game day are insane. Like, there would be games a lot of the time, especially my senior year. We were so fucking good. I'd sell my ticket for $50, keep drinking until I passed out. you go to the bar, and just, it's so much fun just watching the bar, you know, especially going downtown's fun. And just, I mean, God, I miss it. The pre-pandemic, just watching sporting events at a bar, just befriending people, hugging random people.
Yeah,
that's what I miss. Like, even going out for the divisional round and wild card round, I'm at the table with my friends, but I'm not going over to other tables talking about their bets. Like, March Madness is my favorite thing to watch at a bar for sure.
I can't wait till the. You know, this stuff is over, so we can go to bars and games.
I mean, it's like all that. About the community thing.
Obviously. Yeah, that's what you it
know,
is, man.
Playing the field. We want playing the field to, you know, get out there and rolling, you know, so we can get people going together and going to bars together, games together. And like you said, you know, it's just the atmosphere and the, you know, like, you're just hugging random people and you're just getting along and meeting all these different people. And, you know, the camaraderie is just second to none when it comes to – you're rooting for your teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So getting on the Jets real quick, Deshaun Watson, you were talking about that. Me and Mike have been going back and forth on it. I mean, after what I saw the Detroit, you know, the Rams give up for Stafford, if I'm the Jets, I stay put where I'm at. I either trade down or stick it out with Darnold and take Devontae Smith at number two, or even Penei Sewell, because they could use somebody on the right side and really load up on that offensive line. Or if you're going to, you know, draft a quarterback at that, you know, take Fields or take, you know, Trey Lance or take Zach Wilson, you know, we'll see. But I just don't – the Jets are not – I don't think the Jets are like the Dolphins where they're in a position to blow up and give up their whole draft for one dude. They're just not there yet. And I think Deshaun Watson knows that. I think he's just using the Jets as leverage for somebody else to make a move. He's either going to go – if Gruden pulls off what I was reading yesterday, that Gruden might be able to pull off a trade – I think Colin Cowherd was talking about it yesterday about the Raiders. The Raiders might be in on him, but the Broncos seem like the ideal place for him. They got talent at receiver with Jerry Jeudy and what's his name?
Sutton,
Hamler. I mean, you know, that's an ideal spot for him. Or Miami, but is Miami going to give up on Tua? We'll see.
I've been saying I think he should go to the 49ers. I think
he'd be unstoppable there.
Exactly. Ooh, him and Kyle Shanahan's offense with Ayuk, with Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. I mean, that would just be an electric offense. I think if I'm the 49ers, I'm giving up 3 first-rounders, even like 2 seconds, like whatever it takes to get him. Because I think the Niners should go all in to get Watson. I think he takes them possibly the best team to the NFC favorite if they get him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you there. And then he's in the division with Stafford – and Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson.
If he goes to the AFC West, you know, I mean, you're gonna have Herbert, Mahomes, and Watson all in the same division.
And as somebody was saying today, why would he want to go to the AFC West? He's got to, you know, he wants to beat Mahomes. He doesn't want to see Mahomes twice a year. I mean, you know, Like, it doesn't make any sense for him. But I think he's going to go where there's talent, where they're on the cusp of winning, and where, you know, and where he's happy, and where they obviously, where Houston gets the best deal. But that's what I think. That I just don't see him going to the Jets. The Jets aren't ready for him. They're just not built for him yet.
Yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are ready to give up on Tua just yet.
Yeah. That, I think that's sort of a smokescreen too. I mean, unless they do the whole Josh Rosen thing and blow it up after 1 year, right? But I don't know. I just can't see them doing that.
No, it's definitely tough, but you know, you're also talking about
Watson.
Oh, you got a lot of fans, man. Yeah. All right, yes. Colin.
Yes, see money.
Jason is a sports guru and trust this guy's opinion with my life.
See money is putting his life on the line for you.
See money. Who's the chameleon? Any of these in the chameleon? Or no,
I don't think he's in here. That's Corbin and C Money. Those are just two of my other boys.
Nice. All right. Yeah, so listen, Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 55, 6 o'clock. Chiefs, Bucks. You're taking. Obviously, you took the Bucks +3 to cover the spread. But what is your prediction? Are you saying the Chiefs are going to win it?
Chiefs are going to win 34-31.
All right. There. Wow.
Okay.
Field goal last minute to win the game, or?
Yeah, we'll say field goal last minute or a late Mahomes touchdown.
Okay. All right. Okay. There it is.
Okay.
Come down to the wire.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know, you know, every Super Bowl, that Brady's been in, you know, and lost, you know, it's been close. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be as close this time around, but you know, we'll save that for Sunday. You know, when we have our big pregame show, you can come back if you want. But you gave us all your picks, so I don't know.
Yeah. But if you want to pop into your Super Bowl party and just tell us what you're eating and whatever, that's great. But I think the big thing for me is if Mahomes is standing and his jersey's clean, it's gonna be a long day for the Bucks. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and I also think, like, you know, obviously, the Bucks. Brady threw 3 interceptions last week, or 2 weeks ago, rather, and the Packers could not capitalize. I think if, you know, the Chiefs are getting 3 turnovers, so 3 takeaways, they're going to score more than 7 points on 3 takeaways. I mean, you could bet the house on that one. Super Bowl MVP, you want to?
Oh, there we go. Take a shot.
Jay Bird, it's on you.
I'm going to say Mahomes is going to be Super Bowl MVP. I'm calling it 4 touchdowns for Mahomes.
Wow. What's the yardage? What's he throwing for?
300 plus. I'll say over 300. I can't give an exact number, but 300 plus and 4 touchdowns.
All right. Who are they going to?
Hill, Kelsey, Hardman, and Le'Veon Bell's going to catch one, hopefully.
I was with you on that one.
I got. If I'm taking Le'Veon Bell anytime touchdown, I have to include him in the name.
Yeah, absolutely. Birdman.
That's on my other roommate Andrew. He's the zoo. He was the zookeeper.
All right.
What's up, Cassess? That's the chameleon.
There it is. There the chameleon is in the building. All right.
Yep.
You got the whole zoo.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right. Safe pick on Mahomes, and another chime in. Look at this, man! You're bringing you're bringing.
Yeah.
Wow. I got YouTube that. Too. YouTube is you know, it's usually popping on LinkedIn and Facebook. You know, YouTube, it's not as popular. But thanks for sharing the link. It's
the man, the myth, the legend. That was always your fanboy. Yeah, yeah.
No love for Kelsey. He's catching a touchdown.
He said he's
catching a touchdown. But by the way, I mean, how open can Kelsey and Hill be in that last game? It's just unbelievable. Like, Kelsey,
they just threw it on whatever.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. So, Jay, quickly tell us about your podcast. Like, if our viewers want to check out your podcast, they want to see your show, tell our viewers where they can find you, the show's about, you know, give them all that insight.
So, the Bird's Eye View, it covers a variety of sports. It goes, I have the NFL. Obviously, it's slowing down, but every Monday I would recap the NFL, recap all the games that week, and then my Friday show would be previewing the games ahead that weekend and recapping Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then usually I'll touch on usually with the NBA, I'll just focus on the Knicks. If there was any other really good games, I'll touch upon that. But outside of the Knicks, I honestly don't watch that much NBA as I used to. I watch, if it's NBA or college, I'm watching college basketball that night. So I'll recap the best college games that I watch over the past few days. Always a deeper dive into Ohio State. And I have usually who is hot, who is not, where I list 2 to 3 teams that are on a hot streak and 2 to 3 teams that are not. On my Tuesday episodes, I'll focus on the NBA. And then on Thursday episodes, I'll say who's hot, who's not in college basketball. And then this is another soccer a segment I added where I talk soccer, and it's called Soccer in 90. Usually I do it in like 90 seconds instead of 90 minutes. Lately, I tried doing it in a British accent, but it's really poor. But just trying to add something to it.
Hey, man, that's where the acting's coming in, man. All right, it's good stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and go ahead, Mike.
And I'll just say, for anyone who wants to check it out, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts. If you want to follow my Twitter, where I live react to games, it's JBirdseyeView. If you want to follow my Instagram, it's the Bird's Eye View Podcast. I usually post clips from my episodes, and that's where I do all my promoting. And yeah, I just really love doing it. I'm really passionate about sports. I listen to podcasts all the time, and I want to share my thoughts as I listen. So it's a good outlet for getting my thoughts and just talking sports and having people on.
TikTok too, or no?
I make TikToks, but not sports related. It's mostly me trying and failing to do dances or just some funny stuff. It's Colin here, C Money. He's the king of TikTok, though.
Yeah.
Piggly Wiggler, give him a follow.
Piggly Wiggler. All right, I'll check that out.
Awesome. No, you don't want to see his TikTok. Are we talking about Jay Bird? Or are we talking about Collins?
Probably both.
Oh man, awesome! It's crazy, you know, like where social media has gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how crazy TikTok has gotten over the last year, especially because of the pandemic, and you know, millions and millions. We got like a dancing
emoji there.
Wow, this comment section is on fire tonight.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Bird's bringing the heat here. Birdman and Piggly Wiggler are top tier TikTokers.
Cam knows.
Let's see one. I think they want you to dance. No.
No.
It's not what this show is about, Corbin. All right. Go check him out on TikTok if you want to see him dance. Okay. Okay. So you said Bird's Eye View Podcast on Instagram, J Bird's Eye View on Twitter, and do not check his TikTok.
Yeah.
If you want sports stuff, do not look on TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on, Jason.
It was great to be on.
We obviously wish you the best of luck and, on everything that you got going on. And, you know, you're going to land something in the industry soon enough. You know, you got the drive, you know, you got the consistency, you know, you put yourself out there. And that's it, man. I mean, you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And everything, like our guest the other day said, you know, you already landed that dream job. Time just hasn't caught up yet. You know, I love that line from Jake.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
it was a good line. But yeah, I mean, thanks again for coming on and bringing your whole zoo with you.
Yeah,
of course.
No, really, thanks for coming on, man. And I like the creativity. You know, the 90-second spot. You know, you're previewing games. Like the creativity's there, the passion's there. You're gonna do great. And if you ever want to talk Knicks for an hour, hit me up, dude. I'll talk Knicks all day. Nope.
Oh,
hold on.
Muted.
Somebody got muted there.
There is. So my browser lost connection with the mic. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
We got you now.
Yeah. But like I said, if you want to talk Knicks, man, let me know.
You're good.
Yeah.
For some reason, my audio just stopped working.
No, we got you.
We got you.
We got you now.
Thank you guys again for thank you guys again for having me. It was awesome being on, and again, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys again for having me. It was awesome.
Anytime, man.
Anytime. You got a home here, for sure. And hey, down the line. Oh.
What happened there?
He signed off.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there it is. Well, now, first on Fan Experience TV.
Thank you for for Jay Bird and his entire zoo for joining us for episode 54 for the last show before the Super Bowl. You know, we got a lot of great, you know, prop bet picks in there. You know, we gotta do our research on the prop bets because there's some that's really fun one sometimes. So, you know,
who's going to get the first down and all that stuff. It looks like Bauer is.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that, man.
Awesome. He texted us saying that was awesome. All right. Well, I'm glad that he had a great time. We had a great time having him, and we definitely appreciate all of you tuning in. Obviously Sunday, you know, we definitely have to, we're going to have a lot of fun previewing. What else we got going on in the world of sports right now?
Still waiting on word on Trevor Bauer. No word yet, but it's trending like it's going to be the New York Mets. So we'll wait and see.
And we mentioned the Watson to potentially to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And but you bring up a point, like, why would Watson want to go into Mahomes?
Yeah. Division? Like,
especially if a trade like that may cost like Von Miller in a couple of picks.
Yeah. So 100%.
So they're going to compromise their defense. And I mean, don't get me wrong. They got some, they got some talent at wide receiver. They got Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay there. They got Jerry Jeudy. They got Courtland Sutton. They got KJ Hamler. So he's going to have weapons offensively.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's going to, be without saying.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. Do you think Vic Fangio is the coach for Deshaun Watson? You think he's the right guy to lead that team if Deshaun Watson gets traded over there?
Deshaun Watson was able to play with Bill O'Brien. Okay.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that concerns me about Deshaun Watson. Like, I get it, top five player in the league, but they had a 24-7 lead on the Chiefs and they lost that. Like, he couldn't hold on to that. So, in a big game, big spot, had a lead and couldn't keep his team in the game, man. You know, that's got to concern you a little bit, no?
Yes. Well, I mean, the defense is what gave it up, but yes, he should have padded the score. Yeah, he could have had the opportunity to pad the score, but they didn't have a running game.
Okay.
They didn't have a running game. They have no offensive line. Like, Watson can only do so much.
Oh, I get it. And I hear you on that.
You know, like, when you have a team built up, I mean, Tom Brady, he's a great quarterback and everything, but the team he's on is built to, the offense was built for, somebody to come in and just take the reins and make it a little bit better than Jameis Winston did.
Right. No, I get it. But even Tom Brady, as great as Brady is, the only real top receiver he had is who? Randy Moss? Like, that's really it, man. Other than that, he's had
Edelman. Yeah, that Randy Moss, right? And that Wes Welker and the Deion Branch for a minute. Deion
Branch, Troy Brown. Right? And Deshaun
Watson.
He's
never had the – yeah, he's definitely never had the weapons, but he has. Well, I mean, he has the offensive line, and then the referees in his pocket, which helped just a little bit.
Listen, if we ever get Brady on the show, let's not bring up the refs, but I'm just saying is he had DeAndre Hopkins, he had Will Fuller, he's had some talent on that offense, and I don't know. I just sometimes I say to myself, man, is he really worth all those picks? Again, great player, no doubt about it. Top five quarterback, no doubt about it. But I keep going back to that lead in Kansas City, and that fell apart.
Is he clutch? Is he clutch? That's your.
Yeah. But he
beat Alabama.
No, he played in two national championship games. He beat Alabama on a big stage. The guy can play, but at this level, he's gotten hurt. And then I just keep thinking back to whatever it was, and Mahomes was like, "Don't worry, I got this," and he's flinging balls all over the place, and You know, maybe the maybe he had a bad defense. I don't know, but you know, it's just that. I mean, everybody's saying, you know, you got the picks, go out there and get them. But man, that is you're giving up a lot, dude. But hey, we'll you know, it's you know, that's why we watch sports, man. To wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited for how this plays out, and you know, hopefully something gets rolling, you know, well before draft time, and we could see. You know, we could see the ramifications of this deal. You know, obviously Houston's still saying, oh, we don't want to trade him.
They're going to trade
him. We'll only trade him for, you know, two defensive studs and two firsts and 2 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just I understand you. I understand your points. You know, and it will cost too much for the Jets. But you got to at least take the call.
That's, no, you make the call 100%. Here's the other thing, Matt. Let me ask you this. If you're Houston, do you trade him into the AFC? Even if you're getting a haul back, even if you're getting, you know, three firsts and 2 seconds, do you trade him within the AFC?
You don't trade him within the division, but
okay, no, not yeah, you're not gonna trade him to the Colts.
I don't know how that's gonna hurt that much. If they trade him to the Jets, let's say, you know, or the Broncos, let's say. Yeah. I just, you know, you're only going to play them once every, what, 2 years?
Yeah, but if you get a whole boatload of draft picks and you make your team better and you become a contender, do you want to see this guy in a playoff game?
Well, it doesn't really – well, in a – okay, in a playoff game as opposed to a
– yeah.
Okay.
I can deal with it in a Super Bowl.
Playoffs? Are the Texans going to make the playoffs? I mean, are –
Yeah, I mean – You stranger things have happened. I mean, but if I'm the Texans, I say to myself, look, we're going to trade them and we're going to get a lot, but do we want to trade them within the conference? I mean, I don't know that I do it.
I don't know if you, but that's not how you play. You don't play to not play against somebody. You play, you build your team to beat anybody.
I get it. I get all that.
I mean, but you know,
if I'm the Texans, I'm not trading up to the Raiders.
If you can't beat Deshaun Watson if he's a Bronco, then it sucks for you. It's just you don't have a good team.
No, I just think that if you're Houston, you also got to guard against the fact you don't want to trade him within the conference. I trade him into the NFC. You know, I'd find a team that needs a quarterback and get a haul somewhere in the NFC. Somewhere in the NFC, a team needs a quarterback.
Okay, I understand that if you can avoid it, it makes more sense, but you're still not going to get away from Mahomes in the AFC for a long time. So it's like, you know, you got Lamar Jackson. You got Mahomes. Like those two you're going to play in the playoffs.
I'd rather take my chances with Lamar Jackson. Right? Cuz if I get a lead, I got a shot.
If I get a lead against second year.
What's that?
It's a second year.
No, Lamar Jackson's his third year. This was his third year already.
It's his second year. His first year, he played one game.
No. The first year, they went to the playoffs against, remember, the Chargers, and they lost. Then last year, I think they played the Titans, and they lost. And now this year, he got a win, and then he finally put – again, he fell behind and he couldn't get ahead.
Did he? Maybe he started in like week 12.
Yeah, like he started late and then he took off because he was drafted the same year as Darnold was. He was 31st pick in that draft that year. Yeah. So I'm just saying, look, I'm just looking at it from the perspective of I'm the Houston Texans. I don't want to trade him in the AFC. That's the last thing I want to do. I trade him in the, you know, and the only team I can think of is the 49ers. Like that's a team that's loaded, you know. Definitely, and if you're Deshaun Watson, you would want to go to the Niners because that team's loaded.
No, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, they got a tremendous running game. They got a great defense, granted that everyone could stay healthy the next time around. Mm-hmm. And then you got, you know, sprawly little wide receivers there like that. You know, that are game changers. Like they're like Swiss Army knives, all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, and obviously Deshaun Watson is a Swiss Army knife of himself, himself. You know, he can, he, you know, he could toss the ball, you know, fucking real, you know, 50, 60 yards, and then he could also run the ball, you know. So that would definitely bring the Niners to a whole nother level. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, they haven't had somebody like that.
Exactly, man. I mean, that would take the 49ers. I mean, offensively, that would put the 49ers just on another, like you said, another level. And, you know, they become the immediate favorites in the NFC if Deshaun Watson goes over there with that team. They are Super Bowl bound.
Yeah, right away. Who else? Who else is there? Who else Tampa? Is there? I mean, the Packers, if they can get offensive weapons for Rodgers, maybe.
Man, he had a home play game. He had Brady playing the worst half of football in a decade in a playoff game, and he still couldn't win it.
No, I know, but that. But my point is, like, that is his next. That is his next best competition.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Russell Wilson, you know, but you know they.
Kyler.
They flamed out real easily against somebody with four fingers.
and the guy got traded.
And he did open up. I didn't read the article, but.
Oh, yeah. What did he say? I didn't get to see it. What did he say?
I think he's
kind of distraught about it.
Todd Gurley reacts. I don't care about Todd Gurley. Does Jared Goff look like Ryan Gosling? Yes, he does. Yeah. That's what Google has to offer. Todd Gurley was talking about. Nah, I can't find it.
I'm reading. There's an article here that says Jared Goff had a two-letter response to Sean McVay, their final. Where'd it say? Yeah, what it goes. There was tension between McVay and Goff.
I can just imagine what the two letters are. That's all.
Yeah. What did it say? Let's see. Oh, okay. So a night of McVay phoned Goff to inform him of the trade. The coach barely got the details out of his mouth when the quarterback said that he had an incoming call from his father. Okay, Goff told McVay, I gotta go. Man, you better hope Stafford works out over there, because this seems to me like a coach making a power play right here.
Yeah, I mean, that was just too much traded. I don't know. I can't even put my head around it. Like, why this was done? You know, why are you going to give up that much for a quarterback? You're trading a quarterback that brought you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
For somebody who's never sniffed one.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's never seemed like he's an alpha over there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what kind of leader he is. You know?
I mean, he had the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah, he had Megatron for 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And they went to the playoffs once. Once.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, okay, so Stafford's going to have Robert Woods, and he's going to have Cooper Kupp, and he's going to have Brandon Cooks is in Houston now, right?
Man, you know what? If you're going to make a trade, why didn't they trade for Deshaun Watson then? Right?
Yeah, if you're going to trade that.
Right? Exactly. Like, that's kind of odd that if you're going to make that deal, why not trade for Deshaun Watson? You know he's out there.
Are they just trying to – did Clayton Kershaw have a
because they're best friends.
Have a hand in this? I mean, do they want to, like, play next to each other? They want to, you know, just hang out with each other on off days and whatnot. Like, did Clayton Kershaw buy part of the Rams
I don't know about? Yeah, I have no idea.
Because, I mean, he's got the money to do it.
And by the way, have you noticed? I noticed this trend. It's happened in football. They got rid of Josh Rosen after 1 year. Like, these quarterbacks, like, after a couple of years, like Carson Wentz, he signed the contract. Goff gets traded. Have you noticed now more and more, like, these quarterbacks after, like, you know, let's say 3 years, they're already getting cut. They're already getting traded. Like,
yeah,
they're just getting washed through.
it's turned into a players league. It's not about the teams. It's about the players. Right. And it's just like, especially, you know, with the shitty players union.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you see what Brett Favre said?
I saw that. He's out of his mind, man.
He is out of his mind.
He's out of his mind, dude. Like,
you get paid millions of dollars, so just shut up and do your job. Like, no, that's the whole point of, you know, that's what's wrong with like the mentality of like society. Just be, if you aren't happy where you are, you know, doesn't matter how much you're making.
Exactly.
If you're not happy, you know, money does not buy happiness. I mean, how long has that saying been in existence?
Yeah, so 100%. I'm with you 100% on that.
I mean, Watson has every reason to want to leave Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just, you know, first off, Houston has had a bad rap for a little while, for a couple of years now, you know, as, you know, as far as just like, you know, the sports in that city go, you know, obviously with the Astros and then, you know, the Texans with, you know, you had an imbecile for a head coach who was also acting as an imbecile of a general manager, trades every single draft pick and then decides, hey, I'm just going to trade the best wide receiver in the game currently for, you know, recoup a couple of draft picks. And but don't worry, we're going to get a running back that was 5 years past his prime to come in and help us out. But, you know, Deshaun Watson still did good, you know, without DeAndre Hopkins there. But, you know, but the fact that you go and trade him and you take away pretty much his best weapon, anybody's best weapon.
100%.
You know, and then you never give him an offensive line. I mean, he went his whole career without one. And, you know, you have to get – he needs a change of scenery. It's like, I'm not going to stay here for five more years. So what? I can keep getting my ass beat and I can keep getting sacked left and right because they're not going to protect me and they're not going to give me, you know, picks and weapons. And if they do give me weapons, they're going to trade the fucking weapons off. It's like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to win games. I'm here, you know, to be a team player. But if the team doesn't want to be – you know, team players and they just want to be all about, you know, something else, then fuck it. You know, so I don't blame him for wanting out.
100%.
And, you know, for Brett Favre to say, like, shut up, just do your job. Like, dude, you know, that's an old school mentality, which should not have been around in the first place. I hate it. It's like, oh, you just gotta do your job. You gotta pay the bills. Yeah. No fucking shit, you got to pay the bills. Yeah, we all know that shit. You know, like when you talk to your, you know, your elders or, you know, whatever, like, you know, your grandparents and they say like, oh, no, you got to stay there. You got to stay at that job because you need to pay your bills. You know what? No, you can find another job that you can be a little bit happier at, you know, until you find that one that you're going to be ecstatic about. You know, I mean, right now, obviously this show is not paying the bills.
No, it's not. This is pro bono.
Yeah, pro bono. All for you guys. So the zoo, if you're still out there and you're still watching, you can help support the show. But no, we love being on here. And
100%, man.
You know, we just love just talking about sports. And, you know, eventually, you know, we will make a living doing what we love. That's all.
But seeing Brett Favre is you know, is I think even a little bit hypocritical because this guy, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, dude, like you were such a, you know, it was such an issue with him when he was playing, right? This is my last year, and I don't know. I mean, you get to play in all that money, live up to your contract, and play. And if you don't want to play, retire. You know, what did he do? He went to another team, right? Because they didn't want to deal with his bullshit. So he went to another team. He came to the Jets, then went to the Vikings. And so, you know, I disagree. I'm with you on that 100%. I don't care how much money you're making in a job. If the freaking job is miserable, get out. You don't need to be there, you know? And Deshaun Watson has every right. I don't care if he's making $1 billion. If the guy's not happy and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, he has every right to say, get me the fuck out of here. And good for him. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have no problem with Watson. It
just, and I'm with you on that. Other people of other older generations be like, "Yeah, it's a job.
It's a different way.
It's
of
a different world, man. It's just a different world." I think the employee has more say nowadays to say, "I want to go here. Or I want to go there. I don't want to do this. I want to do that." You know what I'm saying? It's just a different world.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, as you know, as bad as like social media can be, it is. Mm-hmm. It has shown people that they can, you know, sit there and they could, you know, share their thoughts. They have that free speech more than ever before.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, they learn how to, you know, I mean, obviously, sometimes it's really bad and you don't know how to think for yourself.
Yeah.
But I think like if you're in like our age group, like we've lived through both generations and we kind of know what's what. You know, and but it's. And now, obviously, people are literally, you won't make a living on social media, or you won't make a living, you know, playing video games, or yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, my